When this show started, I found myself fascinated with all the things we think we know but still get wrong. Sure, it can be as complex as psychology, but it can also be as simple as stretching. Welcome to the Just Dumb Enough podcast, a show that acknowledges no one is always an expert by dispelling misconceptions with real experts. I'm your host as always, Colton Petrie. My guest today is Diane Cherico. Diane started working in the massage and chirotherapy field 24 years ago, and along the way found active isolated stretching. It was one of those innocuous things she didn't give much thought to. Could stretching really be the key to alleviating work-related chronic pain? Is all that warm-up stuff we half-heartedly did in gym class actually the reason we bounced back so fast? She gives a lot of insight about getting into the massage field, as well as a couple simple tricks you can try at home to relieve things like headaches, neck pain, upper and lower back pain, really all kinds of things. Lastly, before we get into it, I have to apologize about the audio on my side. I have just moved into yet another studio space, and it's entirely vacant, so it echoes quite a lot. I've tried to cut it down, and hopefully you won't even notice, but I want to assure you it's not the new normal. Let's finally stretch correctly. Welcome to the show, Diane Cherico.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit for the audience?
Well, I'm Diane Cherico. I'm a licensed massage therapist in New Jersey. Graduated in 1999. So I've been doing this work 24 years. 3 years into my career, my body was broken. It's a very difficult job being a massage therapist. You know, you put your heart and soul into it and your body. And so I was getting migraines. I was getting pain between my shoulder blades, like somebody was hitting me with an ice pick. I was getting the lower back on fire and like sciatica and all that pain. And I really didn't know what I was going to do because I really enjoyed the work. My original calling was to be a registered nurse because I was a candy striper all those years ago. But I was leaving an abusive husband. So I needed a career. I needed a job. My sister suggested massage, and then the rest is, as they say, history. So, oh gosh, I got off track, didn't I? I'm so sorry. I'm like, there's so much.
Yeah,
but,
all good.
But I, when I was broken, I kept getting this brochure as a massage therapist, work smarter, not harder. We got to take extra credits to keep our license. And I took this class. It was muscle release technique. And it was about stretching. And it said, learn how to cure. And it had a list about 25 things, you know, bursitis, tendonitis, headaches, migraines, plantar fasciitis. And I said, bull dinkies, I'm sorry. There's no way one therapy can help all of those ailments. But I needed the continuing education credits. I took the class and my mind was blown. Because it was something I've never seen before. And it was the premise of only stretching for 2 to 3 seconds. And you do sets of that. Well, I'm listening and I'm thinking, gosh, that makes so much sense. Because when you use your muscle, it gets short and tight. So as we use it and overuse it and abuse it, it gets too short, too tight, and it pulls on that muscle that it's attached to. And that's how we get herniated disc, bulging discs, sciatica, you know, stenosis, where you have an impingement of the nerve. So you pull that muscle out slowly by doing slow reps instead of just holding it. So I came home and I started using it myself on my neck. And I admit, I didn't like it when I first started doing it. But I said to myself, think about what you're doing. Your neck is already tight and impinging everything. So this is just uncomfortable as I'm doing it. I'm in pain, but this is uncomfortable. I didn't like doing it, but I kept it up, and now I'm in the best shape of my life at the age of 60.
Hey, that's great to hear. Is that one of those things? And I know we're going back just a little bit. Is it one of those things you were told about in massage school when you were taking your training to become a massage therapist? Did they say, like, oh, by the way, you're going to have some recurring pain just from
Wouldn't
doing this
that have been
job?
nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, none of that was ever brought up, and I didn't even think about it at the time. You know, it's a hard job. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like one of those where the massage therapist ultimately needs a massage therapist just to do their job continuously.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. I unfortunately I try to get a massage out, but since 2003, I've been incorporating active isolated stretching into my massage. So I find the muscle that is the tightest, and then I stretch it out for them. And then I give my clients homework. You know, I love it because I hold them accountable for their own bodies. I mean, I think about it. What I do is an hour. What they do every day is what's really going to help them. So that's why everybody goes home with homework. You know, you got to take care of yourself. And luckily, I learned how to do that. But it's a good question, you know, because so many therapists end up really hurt.
Yeah, and when I think of stretching, I mean, it's not these short intervals that you're talking about because I'm used to like, I mean, granted, it was gym class over a decade ago, but it was very like you got into position and then you just held that for a long period of time.
Yeah. And they think the longer you hold it, the better. But if you think about the muscle, you know, our muscle fibers, when we're young, they're like so loose. And that's why babies can fall and there's no problems. But like I said, with life and accidents and, you know, just falling off your bike when you're a kid, that starts it. You know, when we watch Funniest Home Videos, people are laughing, but I'm looking at that going, oh my gosh, it could be anywhere from 2 to 5 years. And boy, that neck is going to be really wrenched. You know, when we take impact, we brush it off, but that is damage. And that's the start of it. And then life and overuse, and everybody's on their phones or on computers, and our necks are down. And I do this one stretch called off the bed. Hands down, best stretch any human can do for themselves. I teach kids this and older adults and everybody in between, because it reverses the damage very nicely. Would you like me to explain what that 3 minute stretch is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's hear it, and
Why not, right?
hopefully the people that are not driving can give it a shot with
Well,
us.
later they can do this later, because you have to do it on your bed. You stretch off it before you get in it. So that's what I make my clients remember. Stretch off it before you get in it, which means that you lay on the side. Hopefully, you don't have a footboard. If you have a footboard on your bed, try to go sideways, because the idea that you want to get is we all have a backward C curve in our neck. We don't realize that. But when your head is forward and your posture is wrong, that curve is going to change. And that's what gives us headaches, migraines, you know, neck pain, neck freezing up. You know, a muscle spasm is nothing that a muscle that gets too tight and says, okay, I got nothing more to give you. So it goes into spasm. That's the greatest alarm we have. Unfortunately, doctors know about muscles, but they've learned medication for muscles. And I mean, I feel sorry for them, because there really is a cure for muscles that's not a cover up. Because when you take a medication for a tight muscle, you're putting on a terrible band-aid. That pain is saying, hey, I need help. Now, in everybody's defense, we didn't know what to do, but now I do. That's why I'm here today, and that's why I went to the summit, and that's why I'm trying to spread this message. This off the bed stretch could save so many people, and it takes about 3 minutes. So what you do is you lay on your bed, on your back, because some people get dizzy. You know, if you're one of those people that, you know, have vertigo or get dizzy, put a pillow at the end of your bed and just be on the top of the pillow, not at the bottom. And that's where we should sleep. You know, the pillow should not be on our shoulders. It should really, our shoulders should be on the pillow so that your head is at the top of the pillow. And then that will correct us. Anybody listening, try that tonight. Put your shoulders on the pillow rather than at the bottom and see how that feels. Yeah, it feels so good.
I say
But
I'm going to have to correct my posture on that as well.
try it the other way. You're going to love it. But then put your head at the end of the bed and leave your shoulders on and just the top of your head off. You can see how that's going to give you the perfect traction because that's our C curve. It just gets a nice tug on it. And then you massage the base of your skull. I use my middle fingers because they're strong and they're the longest ones. So you come up and you massage where this vertebra goes up into your skull and then move your fingers out. And then there's these fancy things called your occipital ridge protuberances. Ooh, that's fancy, huh?
Yeah,
But
so
really
fancy.
is it's the bumps at the base of your skull. And that's where a muscle called your levator scapula goes up. That's where our headaches come from. So anybody who gets headaches, doing this off the bed and massaging the base of your skull, you're going to feel it. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, I really feel that. So that's where your headaches come from. You know, a lot of people take pills. But if you massage the base of your skull when you have a headache coming on, that could avoid the headache. And then just put your head back and then massage the base of your skull and then move them out to where you can kind of feel those bumps. Do you feel them? Do you feel how you can, you know, how that could really be? And then you move your fingers out to behind your ears. And then, now this is the best part. You put your arms up over your head, and that's going to open your pec muscles, your biceps, your triceps, your neck, your traps, your lats, a little bit of your abdomen. It just stretches everything. And then you put open your arms, and then those buggers called the rhomboids, which are between our shoulder blades, which hurt so many. Oh my gosh. Some people actually. If a rhomboid goes into spasm, especially your left one, people think they're having a heart attack. And it really is a muscle spasm. You know, that muscle has had enough and it's not going to give you any more. So stretching that rhomboid is as easy as clasping your fingers, turning them out, and then coming up over your head. And then release, and then go back down.
Very interesting. So some of this, like the off the bed stretch, it just uses gravity, I guess, to assist with
Yes.
what you're doing. Like you're hanging, you know, at
Yes.
first just like the top of your head, and then you're just kind of eventually stretching out the rest of your body.
Yes. And Pete, when somebody really feels it in their arms, that's how you know, oh my, you know, my tricep is getting it. Oh, a lot of people have deltoid pain. You know, some people work out and they do these, you know, the flies, which I don't like. I don't like weights outside anybody's body. I don't think there's a necessary. Or some people lay on it. You know, they'll put their hand under that pillow, which is wrong, and they'll put their head towards their pillow rather than bringing their pillow towards them, and then they lay on the deltoid. So if you're doing this one and you feel it in your deltoid, you put your arm out straight and you bring it across your body. Breathing is just as important as stretching. But with the active isolated stretching, the breaths are slow and rhythmic. And that's how you know how long to hold the stretch. And you just shh out through your mouth and then in through your mouth. Shh, and then back. And that keeps you slow. A lot of people, you know, they say, okay, I'm gonna get done with them. Shh. And let's face it, that's not gonna work. So you have to go slow and rhythmic to open those muscle fibers. And then I like to do reps of 5 to 7, Shake it out, make nice. Always make nice when you stretch a muscle. And then come back for another set. When you come back for that second set, that's where the magic happens. That's where your body says, okay, we're opening this muscle. You know, that's why it's so sad. You know, a lot of these stretch places are popping up, but they hold that stretch because, of course, I had to check it out. I'm like, I'm a stretching expert. I have 95 hours of training under my belt in this. I've taken four classes under two leading experts in our country. And actually, active isolated stretch has been in our country for over 60 years. But unless you're fortunate enough to live near one of the experts, I mean, I think Aaron Mattis is the only one who's still practicing this in Sarasota, Florida. Now, he's older and he's, you know, giving it to his sons, but I mean, unless you're fortunate enough to find somebody that does this and doesn't charge a terrible amount for it, you know, I mean, I sent one of my clients because he had muscular dystrophy to somebody who just does active isolated stretches. He was in one of my classes. And when my client came back, he said, Diane, you're selling yourself short. He said, you think that guy's going to help me? You helped me more because A, he didn't, he just stretched me and sent me on my way. You massage me and stretch me and gave me homework. And since then, I have made a DVD and I'm recently getting into the 21st century and gonna remake it so it's digitally download. Everybody's asking me, do you have it on download? Do you have it on download? I'm one of those, you know, I live in the world of just massage. So now I'm gonna get into the digital world and have it as a download. But I also wrote the book, You Can If You Say You Can. And in it features, in this book, I feature, you know, I have all the stretches, and it features my 86-year young mom who does these stretches on a regular basis and can still go out dancing and still does everything she needs to do. And if she gets lazy during the winter, you know, you want to sit in your chair, or the summer when it gets too hot, she notices. Like something starts to hurt her, and I'll be like, Mom, you stretching? Oh, no, I really. And then it rears its head, and then she starts stretching again. So it's a really good reference book. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm in the middle of a book. This isn't the kind of book that you just, I mean, you can sit and read it, but it's really a reference book to help people help themselves. And then I love when they help others.
Yeah, and
It's a great thing.
it's got a lot of easy principles in there where you're like, oh, well, how long do I hold this stretch? And you're like, well, as long as you breathe. You shouldn't be hyperventilating because that's not how you breathe on a normal daily basis. But you also
Right.
shouldn't be holding your breath because that's also not how you breathe.
Exactly. And when you hold your breath on a stretch, you're not really getting that stretch. I learned early on in my career, us humans do not know how to relax. So then you get into your bed, you get into the position with your head on the, your shoulders on the pillow, and you take that breath, and then you think of your favorite place. It was funny because I volunteered at the 100th Street Firehouse after 9/11 for about 2 years. And boy, what an experience that was. But one of the firemen I had on the table, and I said, okay, go to your happy place. You know, okay, where is your happy place? And he said, on a basketball court. Okay, happy, but not relaxing. So go to your relaxing happy place.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, it seems like we are always, everyone's tense, right? We're all tense all the time. And that's just the way we're living our life. And, you know, if you're never stretching, you're never doing any of this, you're never getting any better. Is there, you know, reasons to implement this into your pre-work day? You know, a lot of people will stretch before they work out. Isn't there a reason to stretch before? Or, you know, during your breaks or something before you get back into work, even if you're, you know, just the person that is sitting there in a chair and you think, well, this isn't strenuous. You're like, yeah, but, you know, your posture is affected. Your muscles are still holding you up. They're still, especially if you're typing on a keyboard, like your arms are up and that's not where you keep your arms either.
Oh yes. And your back, your lower back, because you know, we're not made to sit all day. And, luckily some people have ergonomic chairs and, they have the lumbar support, which is good. But again, your lower back is going to start to hurt. And I'm really glad you brought this point up, because a lot of people think they should stretch in the morning because they wake up stiff and not feeling, but I always suggest that you stretch at night before you get into bed. Do that off the bed. Stretch off it before you get in it at night. Because when you sleep is when your body runs diagnostics and it heals itself. That's why we need good night's sleep. And so when you stretch before you get in, you're undoing the damage of the day. And so I wake feeling refreshed and feeling good, and I can jump out of bed and not have that lower back pain that I used to have. It's a much better way to wake up. It is better to do it at night. You can stretch throughout the day, but I suggest everybody, when you do cardio, if you do, 5 to 10 minutes of cardio, it's not really going to do much for you. You do 20 or more minutes of cardio, now you're getting some good results. And that's the same thing with the stretches. Do like 2 sets of 10. You want to do at least 20 to 25. If something's bothering you, do like 25 to 30, and at night before you go to bed. So then you get the good healing. But feel free to do them during the day just for immediate, because you get immediate results. You feel it right away. It feels great. But for long-lasting results, our bodies don't work that way. So you have to keep up with it. I mean, I'm going to stretch for the rest of my life. It takes 10 minutes a night. I'm worth it. And I use my body, so I'm going to take care of it. If you take care of it, it'll take care of you. Isn't that the truth? I mean, some people take better care of their cars than they do their body. So that's not right.
Yeah, isn't that true? And it's one of those things where it's like, well, you're preparing to get into bed anyway. Like you're going to be using the same surface, you're going to be using the same pillow, like just use it in a different way and then, lay down and be ready for bed after that.
Yes. I mean, it takes about 28 days to get a habit in. And I just, leave a sign for yourself. Don't forget to stretch. You got this. That's what I had to do. Well, my body was yelling at me. And for anybody who's in pain, I'm telling you, this is the answer. Unfortunately, in the US, chronic pain is the number one ailment right now. That blew my mind. It surpassed depression, diabetes, and high blood pressure. And I believe it, because so many people don't know what to do for pain. Unfortunately, like I said, you go to the doctor, you get a pill, you take the pill for however long. Unfortunately, hopefully you don't get addicted. And thank God they're doing something about that now, because that was such a everybody knows about the addictions. But you're just, like I said, you're covering it up. I mean, even people that do physical therapy for muscular pain, they work it out. So they might make the muscle strong around it, but that muscle is still weak. That muscle hasn't been stretched out, and it's going to rear its head again. So that's why I love, 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 love active isolated stretching, because even if you do it for a long time and you wake up one day and you just go on your way and you don't even think about it because the pain's gone. And then once it starts rearing your head, you're like, I haven't been doing those stretches. So start doing them again, and then it works.
Well, yeah, and this is one of those that you benefit from if you're young and active, like you need to stretch those muscles out in order to recover. And if you are, like your mother, you're in your 80s, like you can do this to help get rid of some of that chronic pain that you are feeling because your body's just too tense. We all live that way. And so it's, there's no shame in it. There's no harm in trying it. And so like just
No, it's
give it a
human.
shot.
We're human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the human body is so amazing. And it will help itself. I mean, we regenerate. If you take care of it will take care of you for a long time.
Yeah. Well, we've heard those, your good tips and takeaways for people to get into. Do you have anything else you usually tell people to avoid other than that really long stretch or, anything like that?
Well, it's pesky chemicals. They've also gotten in our water. So I in my book, I have a small chapter on what you're drinking. You know, a lot of people drink sugary drinks, and you know, that's just empty calories. They're not going to do you very good. You know, there's protein drinks, but then, you know, but the water is so important. A lot of people, when it's so funny, I'm so bad or so good, however you want to look at it. When I see people lugging those cases of water, you know, out of the store, I say, excuse me, have you ever heard of a Berkey? And they're like, what? A Berkey water filter has been around forever. It uses gravity. So there's no electricity. You put it next to your sink. It's their carbon filter, so it filters out all the junk and keeps all the nutrition. Tastes delicious, and you only have to clean it like every 6 months. You clean the carbon. It's a great way to drink water. And instead of, you know, doing that, those plastic bottles. I mean, our country, we don't need that. And you just get yourself a water jug. Some mothers were like, you know, it's my son. You know, he plays sports, and you know, he just can grab it. I said, well, teach him some responsibility of having to keep his water bottle. And you know, and then you don't have to lug these heavy things, and then we don't have to worry about what happens with the plastic. And she said, well, that sounds good. And there was like two mothers that said the same thing there, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
Well, and it's certainly one of those, like, a lot of people are not getting enough water. And if you're not, the damage you're doing to your muscles, to your body, to everything every day that you need to keep it running, like your car, if you're not getting enough
Exactly.
water, you're not recovering either.
No, some people think that the coffee they drink or the tea they drink is replacing that, but nothing really replaces water. So a while ago, I read that if you drink like 12 to 20 ounces of water as you get up, you've already started your day hydrated, and it also helps your brain to think better. And so I started doing that, and that's so easy. You know, most of us put a glass of water next to our bed anyway, in case you're thirsty in the night. So just wake up. Okay. One guy was a wise guy. They said, you know, when I wake up, instead of, you know, I'm not going to just drink water, I have to go pee. So go pee first. Come back and drink at least. I drink about 20 ounces of water when I first wake up. And I'll tell you, it's done me really well. I really like that. And the way that people breathe. A lot of people breathe very shallow. You know, we don't realize. So when think about this, when you take a deep breath in, does your belly come out or does your belly go in? When I first started, when I learned this, I said, oh my goodness, my belly comes in when I take a deep breath. That's not full breathing. When your belly comes out like a Buddha belly, now you're getting a full breath. And when you're stressed out, just taking a deep breath in and holding it for a few seconds and thinking about the scheme of things, what's really important? You know, everything going on around you is just that. If you don't take care of yourself and you're all stressed out and you don't take time to at least take a deep breath, then what good is all that stuff going on around you? You know, it's just going to happen, and you could end up in the hospital. You know, that's why high blood pressure and all that is real. You know, I mean, our loved ones being in pain or sick, that's a real problem. That's what you could really worry about. You know, everything else, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
This too shall pass.
Yeah, you gotta let go of all the things you can't control. That's what
Exactly,
I've been told. Like,
exactly.
you're in charge of how you react to things and the things you do with your body. And outside of that, you just have to accept what is happening.
Exactly. You're not, you're exactly. You're only responsible for your reaction to it. I said, you know, that's so true, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
we can't control. There's nothing under our control except how we take care of ourselves. Do you have any kinds of pains in your body? Do you have lower back or anything?
I have all kinds of pains, and I have mistreated my body, I would say. Over the years, I've done a lot of things that, either some extreme work or some extreme hobbies, and all of those, I did
Add
a
up.
bit recklessly because I was young and
Yeah.
invincible.
Yes. And it's true, you know, but that is reversible. Isn't that nice to know?
Yeah, I
It
know.
really is. Do you have lower back pain?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. So if it's like a right above your bum, which is your gluteus minimus, and we all know our gluteus maximus, but our gluteus minimus, which is right on top of the maximus, is where a lot of pain. And that comes from a muscle called your piriformis. Now, some people have heard of the piriformis and some people haven't. Let me tell you, that muscle is such a pain in the ass. But I'm bump. I got a kick out of that the first time I said it. But it really is. It attaches at your hip, which is the top of your femur, and then it attaches at your lumbar spine. And it does so much. I mean, every time you sit, stand, move, you're using the piriformis. Would you like to stretch it?
Sure.
Yes. All right. I love that when you're willing to do this. So, it what you do is you sit on the front one fourth of your chair. You walk your feet out so that you can see your feet in front of you. And then you put one leg on top of the other one. And some people have a problem doing that. Just get it up to wherever you can on the other leg. So you pull up on your foot like you're looking at the bottom of your foot by the pinky. So you pull up on your foot and then you push down on your leg and not your head, but your whole torso. Come forward to look at your foot. Press down on that leg. Shh, breathe out and then come out and then come up. Good job. Go do it one more time. Come forward. Shh. And then come up. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's quite the stretch.
You can feel that in your groin area, all down your leg, all in your bum. That one can't be beat for helping lower back pain. If you do that, I suggest, you start with five because it's pretty intense. You could really feel that.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't use your head, when you did a really good job. I'm proud of you. You bring your whole torso down, press down on that knee, pull up on your foot, and people can do that at their desks. If your lower back is screaming at you, then do that. Just sit there and do five on one side, five on the other side, come back and do five, and then do another five, and then shake out your bum. Yeah, shake, shake, shake. Because when you stretch, this is how our muscles, when they're really tight, and then you stretch them out and then slowly pull those fibers apart and then you shake it and the muscles feel happy. It's like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. So you shake. And then at night, you do another 20 to 25. If it's really on fire, you want to do at least 20 to 25 every night. Also, I wonder if when you have lower back pain, people should be sleeping with a pillow underneath their knees. If you're not, you're doing your back a disservice because if you're laying flat, you're pulling on that piriformis with your legs straight. Or even if you're on your side, you're pulling that way. So if you have a pillow, it helps your circulation for one. It helps stop pulling of that. Also, people that are real pain, they always wonder ice or heat, ice or heat, ice or heat. Well, Harold Packman, my 80-something year old teacher, who I learned chirotherapy from, it's always ice. Always ice. It's in, when you're when you when you have pain, it's inflamed and irritated. So heat feels good while you're doing it, I'll give you that. But it's not the answer. You're putting flames on a fire. You're making it angry. So instead, put out the fire with ice. It'll numb the area. It'll bring blood to the area. It brings down the inflammation. Like when I was broken, I would debate on which one, the upper or the lower. And every night I went to bed with my Chattanooga cold pack. It's 11 by 14. It was the cheapest one that I found, but the best one. And it became my best friend because when you're in pain, ice is the best natural anti-inflammatory, not a pill. And it works right away. And then you wake up, you put it in the freezer, and then use it again the next night. And just freeze it and put ice on it until you start feeling better.
Yeah. And you just keep doing these things. Because, like you said at the start of this, the first time you do it, it's not going to be comfortable. Like, you're not going to feel lovely the first time you do this. But if you keep doing it, you realize like how tense it was versus how, relaxed it is now.
Right. And the uncomfortableness that you get while you're doing these stretches is letting you know that you really need it. And at least you know that you're doing something to fix the problem. This isn't going to hurt the problem. This is going to fix it. I have the greatest range of motion that I've ever had in my life. I mean, even in grammar school, I remember the teacher, we were stretching to reach our toes, and the teacher came by me, and I got so embarrassed because she said, "Your knees are bent, you're cheating." But I felt like I was going to break my hamstring because that's how tight I was even as a kid. And it took me about a year. I keep doing it, and I finally now I can go down, touch my toes, and put my body in half, and I'm so much happier. It's better being flexible and able to use your muscles the way you want.
Yeah. And it's one of those where there's no shame in starting small and getting better,
No, you should start small. That's the smart way.
yeah.
No shame. It's impressive that you started something that's going to help you in your future. That's it. This is a good thing to start small.
Yeah, exactly. Don't start at what your finish line. You're like, well, I want to be able to do 100 push-ups. Okay, well, day one should not be 100 push-ups.
No, they took me a long time to get to that. I mean, now I could do 50 in one set, but I've been at this a very long time. I took my first active isolated stretch class in 2003. So that's how long I've been doing these.
Yeah.
And it's it and I'm here to tell you, it works. And if you're in chronic pain on a regular basis, you have to really start slow. I promise this will help you, but listen to your body. If you it, on that number scale of 1 to 10, you should feel probably at a 7 or an 8. If you feel more than that, back off on the stretch a little bit. If you don't feel it at a 7 or an 8, just pull it a little bit more because you want that sweet spot. And then don't forget to hold it right there. Shh, and release. Go back, feel it, hold, shh, and release. And that's how you do those reps of that. You find it, you hold it. Some people have a hard time and they just keep moving because we're so used to moving. But the ideal to find that sweet spot, hold it there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we've given people a lot to think on and to try that's very easy and very accessible. I was hoping you could kind of give away if people want to find more of you, where they could reach out to you and where they could find your stuff.
Great. Yes. I'm very well named of Get the Knots Out because that's what we do. We get the knots out when we help ourselves. So Get the Knots Out, GetTheKnotsOut.org.
There you go. Fantastic.
Yes. And then you can find out more about my training and all that I've done and my book. And my video. So you can if you say you can. It helps people say, yes, I can take care of myself. Yes, I can do this. And then that's another thing I learned is, you think about it. If you say you can, you can. If you say you can't, you can't. Either way, you're right.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show today and for sharing this message with everybody. I've appreciated your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And I appreciate each and every one of you listening. Don't be afraid to rewind this episode so you can easily listen to those stretching instructions again. A little bit of that now could save you a whole lot of pain later. It's a new month, so we've got new rankings. Number one, the United States, led by Michigan and Ohio, but actually very close to being dethroned from the number one spot by number two, the United Kingdom, with Scotland up at the top. Number three, Canada, with Ontario unsurprisingly leading. Number four, Pakistan. Welcome to the top five, Pakistan. That's a surprise. And number five, South Africa. Back after quite a long time away, it seems. That's it for this week. Have a great weekend. I'll see you all back here for the next episode. And until that next episode, please do all those things that really help the show out. Rating wherever you're listening, reviewing, liking, subscribing, whatever you can do to help this show grow. You can reach out to me at dumbenoughpodcast@gmail.com or on any of the social media platforms you use if you want to reach me personally. But most importantly, stay dumb.